Hey folks, in this interview, we're going to be talking about Panasonic and their new full-frame mirrorless camera, the S1. Who's it for? Where does it fit in? And should you even care? This is TWiP. Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. Today on the show, I've got Steve Vancik. He's a 11-year veteran wedding and portrait photographer based in the Chicagoland area, and he also happens to shoot Lumix, particularly the S1 full-frame camera that I mentioned there in the intro. We're going to dive into that camera, but before we do that, Steve, welcome to the show, man. I'm excited to talk to you. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good over here. Chicago is warm, a little rainy this season, but
that sounds like Chicago.
With a few weddings.
That's Chicago. Yeah. Warm and rainy. You know, there's no humidity in Chicago, right?
Oh man, I'll tell you. I did a doubleheader weekend over the doubleheader wedding over the weekend, and it was crazy. You know, the makeup was melting off the brides and all of that, so kind of slows you down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey. You know, sometimes we feel we can't, California people complain about our fires and riots and earthquakes and all that, but I wouldn't have it any other way because we have the cool weather here. So, let's start with a little bit of history on you. I'm interested to know kind of, you know, I always, when I have a new person on the show, I kind of ask them what their origin story is in photography, kind of like your Spider-Man bit by the radioactive spider.
There you go.
What got you, what was your radioactive spider that got you into photography?
Well, you know how you'll go to a photographer's website and you'll see the story about how their grandfather gifted them a camera that's been going through the years and all that. That is not me. It's not me at all. I do not have that story. Basically, I was a musician. You may see some of the things in the background. Maybe you see Fender guitars.
I think I see Hendrix up there. Is that Jimi Hendrix or is that you?
Oh, that's me.
Oh, you look like Jimi Hendrix up there. That's awesome.
It's Bob Dylan, actually.
Bob Dylan. Okay, got it.
Yeah, and there's some camera stuff. There's some Fender guitars. I played music. And as a musician, as a local, you need to have a day job, you know, unless you're really, really making it, right? I had a day job that was going away. I could see it. And I wanted something creative. To become my full-time job, and I was staring down at all my music and the CDs I had and things like that, and I realized that I loved the photography that I saw there, and I just hit it like crazy, learning, started listening to podcasts such as yours way back in the day, online training, and then, you know, got the camera, called up B&H. I started with an Olympus DSLR. I moved on to their mirrorless. So I've shot Micro Four Thirds for a lot of years. And then it just grew to the point where I couldn't anymore I couldn't go to the day job anymore. I had to do this. So I became a full-time wedding photographer. And I'll tell you, about a year after I got into that, I got the call from some friends, and they're like, yeah, the job, they eliminated us, you know.
Oh, really? So you preempted you preempted the layoffs, right? Yeah. That's the way to go. Happening.
Yeah, the place is still there, and I know some folks there still. Yeah. You know, it took me a good 4 years to balance those two. I would run from the day job, have client meetings, change clothes, meet with people, book them, edit till midnight, go to sleep. Barely.
Yeah.
And I'd get up in the morning for the day gig and shoot the weddings on the weekends until finally I transitioned.
Yeah, that's not sustainable. Yeah. That's not sustainable. Yeah. No. Yeah. And a lot of Silicon Valley people are in that sort of grind where they'll it's slightly different, but they'll, because of the myth of the world being round, you know, they'll work during the day. And because most of these companies are international, they'll get a deluge of emails during the night. So the next morning they have to work up, you know, basically work through all the emails all day and then work all night and then get up and do it again. So it's a whole thing here.
That sounds familiar from a few years ago. And even now, you know, but I'm constantly, that's part of the job. It's very little photography.
Yeah.
When you think about it. Yeah.
Well, let's let you know this so that we're going to, I'm going to put you on the hook for another interview because I want to dive into the business aspects of photography, particularly wedding photography with you. Mm-hmm. In this one, I want to talk about the S1, the Lumix S1, Panasonic Lumix S1 full frame mirrorless camera. Yeah, that beast, you know,
yeah.
Thor's hammer you have over there. So, you mentioned that you started with Olympus and migrated to Micro Four Thirds. Did you transition directly from Micro Four Thirds on Olympus to the full frame Lumix, or did you jump to the GH series in between, or what was your sort of path of ascension leading up to the S1?
I still shoot with Olympus and Micro Four Thirds. Mm-hmm. It's actually a great system for wedding photography that people tend to pass over the Micro Four Thirds sensor, whether you're doing Panasonic or Olympus, because of the lightweight. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are very long days. My only familiarity with Panasonic was the Noctocron lens.
Oh, the 42.5, yeah, f1.2.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, great portrait lens. I've shot many wedding images with that. And the S1, you know, I've been looking at the full-frame mirrorless, and I started looking at all the brands. And when the Panasonic came, I'm not, like, super addicted to specs, you know. To me, handling all these other things are important as well. Dual card slots was very important to me as a, sure. You know, a wedding shooter. And I just couldn't believe that other than Sony, nobody was offering that yet. So I started looking at the S1 and then I really fell for it. All the features that were in it as a wedding shooter, I felt that it was very much, I know they get a lot of hype for video, but I thought that the S series was really speaking to still shooters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
For sure. And yeah, so I decided to add it to my toolbox. The lenses aren't quite there yet at this time for to go all in quite.
You mean when you say the lenses aren't quite there yet, are you saying the quality of the lenses or just the selection of lenses?
Just the selection. Okay. The quality has impressed me. I started with a 24-105 f4, mm-hmm. which has been bandied about as a kit lens, and that is just not accurate. It is very much not a kit lens. It's very much a premium lens, yeah. Weather sealed. It's super sharp. It's f4. As wedding photographers, we love 2.8 and faster. Mm-hmm. But the ISO of the camera, not to get too far ahead, is so good that, you know, I can shoot in churches at f4. It's not a problem whatsoever. But yeah, the 50, I eventually went with that. And so I'm really rocking two lenses with it. I've rented a Leica on occasion when I've had the budget, when the client's budget allowed me to. And then there's Sigma lenses come in. And like I said, I guess I'm jumping ahead, but they've got a lot more. So I'm not concerned about it. But yeah, the quality has been fantastic.
I've got one here that I'm playing with. This is not mine. It's a loaner that I have to send back to Panasonic. But I have those two lenses that you mentioned. I have the 24-105 f4 and the 50, which is 2.8, right? The 50?
1.4.
Oh, it's 1.4. Yeah, look at that. So here's the thing that struck me about that. Now, I'm lucky, right? Because I got to grab them and hang on to them for a couple of weeks. I got to send them back in about 4 days here. But that 50 millimeter lens is, they say, the most expensive 50 millimeter lens ever made, right? It's like $2,300 or something for a fixed focal length 50. Like, so is it worth that to you? You know, this is a perfect question for someone who's using it to actually generate revenue. That investment, is it paying for itself?
Yes. Yeah. It's, I've had, when I first started out with the Olympus DSLR, I had, you know, they had the 4/3 sensor. So it was like, I think I had a 30 millimeter Sigma and, you know, I've shot with Nikon 50 millimeters. This is bar none, the sharpest I've ever come across. I had a very much like I did not like 50 millimeter lenses. Everyone starts with it, you know, the plastic fantastic or whatever, right?
Yeah, the nifty 50.
Yeah, and I would tell people, you know, I teach like a little local photography class, and I tell people to get that because it's a cheaper way to get to a fast aperture, you know, and to blur those backgrounds, usually a 1.8, something like that. But I never really liked them myself, and I hadn't shot with it for years. So I got the 24-105. Then I went to a Lumix event like a dummy, right? You know?
Yeah, I know where that's going.
Chicago. Yeah, over at Dodd Camera.
Yeah.
And they had the setup there and they had the 50. And well, yeah, I don't have that lens. I'm going to have to try it, right? I'm going to have to try it, you know? I had a beautiful model set up. And that was the first time I did the IAF too, you know, because 1.4 is tough, right? You know? Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of other photographers crowded around me and a lot of chitter chatter. So it wasn't like, you know, I felt a little rushed, you know, for what I was doing at 1.4. So I threw the IAF on and it was just nailing it, super sharp. And
just describe what that is for people who aren't familiar with IAF. What is IAF?
Sony's known for it. They've done a terrific job on that. It's basically you put it in the IAF and it's going to track the eye when it gets so close. I mean, you can't be 50 feet away and it's going to go to the eye. But what's unique about Panasonic is it goes from body to IAF. And if you have multiple people in the frame, you press the joystick in and you're going to be able to put a yellow box. Basically, the box changes color to what you want in focus. Personally, I find it good for single or duo portraits, and that's when I'm using it for the couples, especially for the bridal portraits. Yeah. You know, what can I say? You know, these are, you know, usually young brides that I'm shooting, and they have beautiful skin. But if you soften that up even more, they are going to love you as a wedding photographer. And, you know, that's part of the deal, you know,
yeah.
It takes away, you know, blemishes and things like that, but yet keeps that our eye super, super, sharp.
Sure.
So it's cheating in a way. It's cheating at 1.4, which I can do it the old fashioned way. I've done it before, but on a run and gun wedding day, it's another tool to help you out.
Insurance, right? It's insurance because you don't want to, you know, I shot a couple of weddings over the past couple of decades, and the scariest thing or the most disappointing thing or one of the most disappointing things for me is when you think you got that shot and it's like, oh, look at that. The light's perfect and they're beautiful and look at the dress is flowing and I got the shot. And then you get back to the computer and zoom in and it's just a little bit soft. Right.
Right.
And, right. So if there's a tool or some AI that can help you ensure against that, you know, even if it's just a little bit, it's worth it. Right.
Right. And if the client knows you took that, what do you say?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, exactly. Hey, where's that shot of us on the bridge? I messed that up in the dark room. It didn't come out.
Right. There's sharpening tools in Photoshop, but, you know, and I mean, sometimes the client won't notice. I mean, used it. I've had to do it, you know, but I prefer not to. But when you have that super sharp eye, I think they know.
Yeah.
I think they know when you've nailed it. And then that skin smooths out. I mean, that's part of the lure of the full frame too, you know. Micro Four Thirds, I love it, you know. You have the 1.2 lenses, which gives you depth of field at 2.4, you know. You know, there's something about that. And when I put that 50 on, I've used it. I've done 14 weddings so far this year. And 12 of them I've had the S1 now since April. I had two February weddings before I got the system. The clients, I could tell, you know, I do in-person viewings with the clients and the bride just sees herself. And I could tell, you know, they like those images with that 50, you know. And then, of course, you know, I prefer a longer focal length, you know, for portraits. But, you know, I'm talking about environmental portraits. I have the veil over them, just the hint of the eye there, and it's super sharp. So, answer your question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's my long-winded answer to your question.
Oh, no, okay, no. Yeah. So, I was saying, so, you know, part of And I want to get back to the camera in a second, but conventional wisdom in wedding photography, as far as I know, I'm no expert, obviously, but the one of the mainstays seems to be that 7200 on full frame, right? And I know I have one on loan here. So the 7200 for the S1, that seems like that belongs in the wedding shooter kit. So the question is, are you planning on plunking down the cash to get one of those? Or are you going to, does that part of your wedding photography workflow, is that relegated to the Olympus side of the house?
Yeah, you know, I feel like, because you got to remember on Micro Four Thirds, 2.8 is still 2.8.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Speed of light, man. Speed of light.
Right. You know, a lot of people in online forums will battle to the death over this, but you're getting that light in. And sure, ISO, there's variance between brands and things like that. You know, I'm not all deep in the weeds on that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I know light is coming in to the sensor. I'm letting it in. I do like the 2.8. I don't have the 70-200 f4. I do plan on getting the 2.8 version. I know it's coming around the corner at some point here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is a mainstay. For me, it's mostly for the ceremonies. Okay. I go into these churches and people are running around with cell phones and iPads, but I'm put into a box in the back of the church, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, like the good altar boy that I used to be. I listen to them, right? I need that reach in the churches.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, you're absolutely correct on that. It's a mainstay.
Are you, Steve? Do you see yourself in the future at any point, sort of switching over from, like, completely over to the Lumix S1 full frame system and sort of eschewing the Micro Four Thirds and Olympus world? Or is it the right tool for the right job? You're going to, you know, continue to use the smaller sensors where they fit and the larger sensors where they fit. What do you think?
Great question. I've struggled with it a little bit because I kind of fell for the S1, you know.
I know the feeling, man. I've fallen in lust with that thing too. So.
Right, but you know, Olympus. You know, I've been dating Olympus for a long time. You know, right, and Micro Four Thirds, and you know, I know you're a Panasonic guy, and I think they're just sort of right there with each other. They, mm-hmm. They work together, you know. I mean, I know they're different companies and stuff. Their lenses are interchangeable. I think I'm going to stay there for right now because there's some times where I like that lightweight. I like to grab it and go. I'm not one of those shooters that has to have the same brand in the bag, yeah. Or you know, you can edit these images, and I have second shooters who come in with different brands. I have two people who work with me.
That's so refreshing to hear that. Yeah, so refreshing.
Yeah, they have different brands, and no clients are saying, hey, these look different or whatever, you know. It's a different perspective. To me, it's a selling point. Hey, this photographer is going to give a little bit different look than me, a little bit different coverage. You know, usually they handle the guys, and I handle the bridesmaids, and yeah, it's not an issue.
So on the Olympus side of the house, I want to get a mm-hmm. glimpse into that kit, and then I have a couple of questions to ask you about the S1, which I'm pointing to. I've got it right here. What are you shooting with on the Olympus? Are you shooting with the new gear? The OMD EM1X?
I'm still on OMD EM1 Mark II. Mm-hmm. I really wish they'd shorten the names.
Yeah, I know. It's hard for me. Like, yeah, give it a name like Bob, you know?
There you go. Yeah. The latest Bob, which is the EM1X, I actually went to an event for that camera. It is a terrific camera. I love the joystick. I like the battery grip. I like the body. It's the most comfortable Olympus body I've ever seen, ever held, that is. But it has a lot of AI features that are more for sports and wildlife. Mm-hmm. And I sort of withdrew from getting it. To tell you the truth, the EM1X sort of money sort of went to the S1 here.
Oh, interesting.
And that's kind of how that happened. It's a great camera. I wouldn't mind having it, but You know, I'm a bit of a tech guy too, and a lot of the features of the S1, things are going to AI and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And this was more people-oriented, where the Olympus was more, you know, if I were doing motorsports, maybe I were doing sports for kids, which I don't do, you know, or just professional sports, maybe I definitely would have went that way.
Yeah.
And this was more people-oriented. I kind of want to jump into that tech a little bit more. You know, it doesn't mean I won't go that way. You know, and one of my second shooters also shoots Olympus, and then one of my other second shooters who works in my company has a Sony.
Yeah. So yeah, Olympus makes some fantastic, fantastic cameras. In fact, I have one here that I'm testing as well. Both of those, the 1X and the Mark II that you have. I'm testing both of those. Olympus was gracious enough to send over a full kit with all that stuff in it for me to play with. Of course, I still have to send that back too. But you know, it's like purgatory. I get to play with all this cool stuff, but then it has to go back. So on that, one of the things that I know